Good evening. This is Milton Rosenberg. Welcome again to Extension 720.
Good evening. This is Milton Rosenberg. We welcome you again to Extension 720.
Good evening. This is Milton Rosenberg. Welcome again to Extension 720. Hello to all. This is Milton Rosenberg.
We'll talk about that tonight on Extension 720.
All right, for the record, I did produce back in the day a Milton Rosenberg Extension 720. Aren't you impressed by that, Pete Zimmerman? Come on now. That's right. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I definitely did do it. There was some transition at the radio station going on at the time. I was working. I said, Carm, can you handle Milt? Absolutely, I'd love to. For, no, not permanently, Pete. Just, you know, I wasn't on the... Me and Milt, we got along great for that show or two, but we weren't going to be a long-term thing. But it's kind of a big, thrilling moment to be sitting in for Milt tonight. Good evening, Mark Harmon with you. Justin Kaufman, of course, working this morning. I'll be here until 10 o'clock tonight. Big show, Des Clark, former Chicago Bear, number two receiving tight end in the history of the Chicago Bears. He'll be with us a little bit after 7:30. You guys should know who number one is. That the coach.
Ah, I'm gonna say Tim Reitman.
Tim Reitman would have been a great guess. I should have left that out there for you. What? Reitman was incredible. Emory Moorhead, maybe. I don't know. There's a good Bear tight end. Adam Shaheen's not a good Bear tight end on the current Bears. Okay. Adam Hogue from London will be with us coming up about an hour, or 7:50 or so tonight. And then 8 o'clock, I'm very excited and slightly nervous. We're doing the Chelsea Bachelorette question game. My fiancée-to-be is out of town this weekend on her bachelorette party, and one of my duties was to answer 36 questions from her friends, things about Chelsea. And some of these were PG rated, and some of them weren't. And I did a video for all of them. That's right. Now, I might have perhaps lied on some, but I did it, man. So what we're going to do, I think, we're still kind of marinating this one, is we're going to have somebody, two people play the Chelsea Bachelorette game. How well do you know either A, your spouse, or B, your fiancé? And Pete and I are going to try to figure out who's really being the most honest person on 720 WJ. Don't have to use your real name, but we need honesty in the answers. Does that make sense? What do you think, Pete?
That makes total sense. Perfect.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you did this on videotape.
Oh, that's true, too. It's on videotape.
Perfect. I mean, there's a permanent record.
Yeah. I mean, I can delete it on my phone, but I sent that thing out, email and text. The email wasn't going through. It's on tape. It's there forever. You're absolutely right. All right, I want to talk about a dilemma, though, to start the show here. And it's one of my favorite topics. My father doesn't approve whenever I talk about this, but it's called stealing and theft. And the college admission scandal has taken another turn, so we'll get to that in a second. But Thursday nights, last night, that's my tennis night when I don't have anything going on, which has not been much lately, but I was fortunate enough to get to play tennis last night. So I'm driving out to a location where I play this tennis, and I get in there, and we used to play on Monday nights, now we're playing on Thursday nights. So I knew the person on Monday night who runs the desk. I walk in last night, it's Thursday night, don't know the person. They look at me cross-eyed, who are you, where's your card? And I don't have the card. I haven't seen that card in years. And are you up to date on your membership fees, sir? And I said, I'm guessing that I'm not, but you can check. Perhaps I am. My name is Mark Carmen. So he checks, and he's like, yeah, you're not. I'm like, well, okay, should I take care of this now? No, go ahead and play, and then come back on out, and you'll pay. So now I'm leaving, last guy leaving the facility. And he's kind of sitting back, not really wanting to talk to me. Like, I probably could have walked out, but I was like, no. I'm going to be a man of integrity. I'm going to pay the dues. Let's go. So I walk up, and they're like, he's going through the computer. Like, we got a little bit of a problem. Well, what's the problem? Well, in the computer, it says that you're 4 years old. And my maturity level perhaps is of a four-year-old, at least at times, but I'm like, clearly you're not. No, I'm not 4 years old. I'm actually 46 years old. Well, the rate for the four-year-old is a little bit less than the 46-year-old. Do you want to just pay the four-year-old rate, Mr. Carmen, or should we make this the adult rate? And I'm sitting there like, oh man, I'd love to save the $70 and the difference, but I'm like, no. Let's pay the adult rate. I'll sleep better at night. So I was proud of myself, right? But then the system, he didn't really know how to do it and whatever, and so I was like, all right, fine. Give me the 4-year-old rate. So, simple question for you, 312-981-7200. Like, I feel like I'm stealing. Is that stealing? I think that's theft right there. And I'm also curious, where do you steal? Like, Pete, you're the most honest guy I know. You wouldn't, like, you're the type that would go to Chipotle and they give you the cup for water and you would actually go water 100% of the time and never put Sprite in there. Right? Am I right about that?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't take it.
Like, have you even stolen a candy bar in your life? Ooh, see? Yeah. The hesitation. You have stolen a candy bar, haven't you?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
See?
I have some theft in my
right.
past.
Everybody's got theft in their past. So I'm looking, if you could just admit to where you're stealing, I would love to hear it. 312-981-7200. But I'm trying to be this high integrity guy, right? I don't want to be the 4-year-old at the tennis thing, but you know that.
If he offered it to you.
He offered me the 4-year-old. But I'm not 4 years old. This is wrong. This is improper. We're trying to make the world a better place. I care, but then the other side of it is, well, who does it really hurt? Who am I hurting here? Do they really need the money? Yeah, probably not. What's $70 to this facility? It's a tennis facility. It's so much money every hour. They don't need the dough.
The next day, the 4-year-old walks in. Hey, I want to play tennis. And the guy's like, you know, we actually have you as a 46-year-old.
Right.
You're going to have to pay that.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, now I walk in every time, and maybe somebody else said this, and then they swipe it like, sir, it says here you're 4. What's wrong with you? Why would what did you fill out the form online and say you were 4 years old? No, that's not exactly what happened. I got a long story. I came in here. They couldn't figure it out. But I will see, like, if you go to Whole Foods, say, right? People walking through the hot food line. They're picking off the strawberries. They're taking a blueberry. They're maybe even putting a piece of chicken in their mouth. You're stealing. That is theft. But I get it. It's one piece of chicken. Not a huge deal. I'm not surprised that when I'm asking for people to admit that they're stealing, we get this. Uh-huh. I know you're out there. Somebody wants to admit it. Pete, are you going to be the first to admit anything?
When I was a kid...
Here we go. Thank you.
My mom did hair.
My mom did hair, too.
For a living. In our house.
Me, too.
So on, like, Saturday mornings, you know, when I just wanted to, like, hang out, watch cartoons, a bunch of old ladies came in and got their hair done in my basement.
Yeah? You went into their purses?
No. Well, somebody... They paid my mom, and like she had a little bucket for cash, and I took that. I was in a bad mood. There was too many old ladies walking in, so
yeah.
I took a $20 bill.
Ooh.
Rode my bike down to the White Hen Pantry.
Oh my God!
Bought $20 worth of baseball cards.
Wow, you stole $20 out of a purse. Did I hear that right?
A container where
a
she
container.
Kept cash.
So from your mother.
Yeah.
So you're stealing from home. I mean, it's theft. It's definitely theft.
So I was sitting...
Did you cop to it? Is this the first time you've ever told your mother? Right?
So I'm sitting at the stoop down at the White Hen looking at all my baseball cards thinking, oh man, this is a good card, this is a good card. And all of a sudden a car rolls up. It's my mom. She has seen the $20 has disappeared.
Oh my God.
She knows me. She's thinking, he's probably down at the White Hen. Buying baseball cards.
The White Hen was such a great place. The two hot dogs at the White Hen. White Hen had good milk, great baseball cards at the White Hen.
So he put my bike in the trunk, drove me back in the car.
Grounded?
Grounded, yeah.
Do you remember how long the grounding was?
A week, maybe.
Well, see, but that'll do something to you. A week of grounding. And embarrassing. Mom's driving up, you were terrified.
Learned my lesson.
Yep, right there. Text line 312-981-7200. The representative of the company made the suggestion, you're good. But what about my own integrity? Why? That's what we do. That's the exact, that line of thinking right there. It's like somebody who goes through the line at Jewel and you've got, say, a 12-pack of Coke underneath. Well, they didn't see it, so that's, I didn't really take it. It's their mistake because they didn't see what was down there. That's on them. Ultimately, I think I need to look in the mirror here, team. I don't know if I'm going to move this forward or not, but perhaps it's something that I, you know, maybe the next time I go in, I say, you know what, I just don't feel good about this. I'm willing to spend the extra time for you to go through the system.
I think ultimately, you need to feel good about this.
Right? It's my life. I got to sleep at night.
You could get away with it.
I have gotten away with it.
But you've been thinking of it. It's happened yesterday. You're still thinking about it.
It bothered me to the point that I wanted, like, I'm going to start the show with it.
Yeah.
I'm not 4 years old. Damn it. I'm an adult, but I'm still paying the 4-year-old rate. There's breaking stuff on the college admissions scandal today, so I want to talk about the coming back as far as stealing and privilege. So we'll do that next. For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist. That would be Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
You don't need to change the thing about you, babe. I'm telling you. From where I sit, you're one of a kind. Relationships, I don't know why. They never work out and they make you cry. But the guy that says goodbye to you is out of his mind.
Shout out to my guy Griffin House, who's in town tonight. If you're doing nothing, or if you have mediocre plans, let's go with that. Griffin House is at Space up in Evanston. We'd rather you listen to the show all night, but if you're not going to do that and you're looking for somewhere to go, Griffin House is awesome, and if you can't go tonight, check him out regardless, griffinhousemusic.com. We've had him in studio before, but he is in town tonight. I'm getting a ton of support on the text line on my tennis situation with the 4-year-old. The Coke thing is different. You were ready to pay. Okay, thank you very much. And let's see. And then we got a couple people saying that they tried calling. I grabbed organic bulk bin walnuts and write the code for regular walnuts. That's what I'm talking about. How many people get the banana at the supermarket, at the Walmart, there's the organic with that sticker, but if there's no sticker on it, maybe the clerk's going to think it's the regular banana. You're going to save 30 cents, and then you just gave up your integrity for 30 cents. Which, maybe that's what it's worth. I don't know. But people do that stuff all the time. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. What song just played on the text line? Just that would be The Guy That Says Goodbye to You Is Out of Her Mind, the old Griffin House. All right, I wanted to talk about this college admissions scandal, which I've been paying close attention to. I think it's fascinating. Because I think that privilege is one of the biggest handicaps you can have in life. If you never learn to do things by yourself, if you never learn how to earn something, you are going to be handicapped. You're always going to think mommy and daddy are going to come to the rescue, and they're doing you a disservice. And I know that, you know, I'm probably talking to a ton of parents right now. Some of the most wealthy people on the planet, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they're not giving their kid every last dime. I'm sure they're having an incredibly comfortable life that we would all like to live. Actually letting your kid play in the world and see how they do, and when they get knocked down, learn how to get back up. That's all important, right? So today, Augustin Huniz Jr. became the fifth parent to be sentenced to the scam. He got 5 months in prison, and of course, that's the longest of any parent so far. Before it was 4 months. He was fined $100,000, he's got to do 500 hours of community service, and what did Huniz do, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, he admitted to paying $50,000 to cheat on his daughter's SAT, 50 grand for the SAT. This is a rich guy. 50 grand probably is nothing to him. That's what I'm assuming. It's got to be, right? He paid $50,000 in bribes, so now we're at $100,000. And then he paid $200,000 more to get her into the University of Southern California, USC, as a water polo recruit. So that's 300 grand. We got SAT scores, which I don't even know why he needs that. I guess you do, even to get into USC as the water polo person. Bribing people, the main guy in the bribes, who orchestrated the whole thing, and then 200 grand. So he's in for a 300 to get his kid into USC so she can have a better life. And none of that's worth it. Prosecutors asked for the harshest penalty. They wanted 15 months in prison and a $95,000 fine, so he gets $50,000. So now we've got 50 people, parents, coaches, test administrators, conspirators that have been charged in the scandal. All right? Now, this is stealing, it's cheating, it's terrible. It's Jennings, I'm hearing you breathing in there. I think you have a thought on this.
I can't wait to see what happens to Lori Loughlin when she gets into court.
Well, Felicity Huffman...
She is already done.
Yeah, Felicity Huffman, she paid $15,000 in the test part cheating. She got 2 weeks in prison. All right? And I don't know what the right penalty is for, you know, are these people... Should they go to jail for 3 years? I don't think so, but they should go to there should be retribution here, and there has been. But I think what's being missed here is, like, you are not doing your kid any favor here. You're actually hurting him. And I know that you want what's best for your son and what's best for your daughter, and I'm sure people bend things for their kids all the time. And maybe you're the parent that goes to school and is knocking on the door of the fourth grade teacher and is wondering why your kid didn't get an A on her math test. Or maybe you're harassing the coach on the baseball team because you think your kid should be leading off and playing shortstop when he's in right field and he can't even field a ground ball, but you're completely, you know, in another whole land on what your kid's talent level is. I get that you care. But, like, it's just way off. And I love it. I don't know if I love. That's probably wrong. But I appreciate at least the fact that this is coming to life and they're getting nailed here. Because you know what's going on. And money, if you have it, it can be a very, very dangerous thing. 312-981-7200, by the way, if you want to weigh in on this. But is that, in people's mind, is that enough? 15 months in prison? He spent $300,000 to try to bilk the system? I don't know, Jennings, how much do you think that's enough?
15 months? I'd go with 2 years.
Okay. All right. I mean,
you haven't just gamed the system. You've also gotten in the way of somebody else who might have been able to get into that college but for your shenanigans.
Right. There's that as well. There's absolutely that as well. Although I sometimes, like, people always say that, it's like, yeah, that's true, and it's just another seat at the college. There's plenty of seats available. Ain't like they couldn't take another kid. You know, it's not a baseball team where you got 25 guys. 312-981-7200. Let me get Anthony in here real quick. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in. First of all, these people aren't buying their kids degrees, so they still have to pass whatever course they're signing up for before they get out in the world and practice.
Okay.
And secondly, is it any worse than accepting students like Harvard does that have lower qualifying SAT scores just because they fit a certain demographic? Isn't that cheating as well, but just in a different form?
I don't know. I think that's completely different, Anthony. Do you think that the kid that grows...
And they don't belong in jail, that's for sure. That is ridiculous.
Hold on. Well, what do they belong, Anthony? What should we do?
Then fine them and ban... Their kid can't go to college now. It's not like their kid needs college. If they've got millions, they can live off of that.
So fine and banned. Would you agree that the kid that grows up in the northern suburbs versus the kid that grows up in the inner city, they're not playing on the same plane? Would you agree with that?
Well, we have to look at the reasons why. But maybe the parent or the North Shore kid put in the work necessary to get on the North Shore.
Okay. But that's got nothing to do with the kid, man. I appreciate the call.
Well, true, but put him in jail?
Okay. Now we're on two different topics. I appreciate the phone call. I don't want to be late for news coming up here. But look, we can continue this after the break if you want. Quick timeout, or let me do we got a little quick promo and then the news at the bottom, 720 WGN. WGN, Mark Carman with you tonight. Dustin Kaufman with the night off after working the morning show today. Hope you had a great Friday. The phone number is 312-981-7200. I'm a little surprised here that there seems to be a mounting defense for the parents in the college admission scandal, which claimed another victim today, I suppose you could say, although victim seems a little bit like perhaps the wrong word, Augustin Huniz Jr., the fifth parent to be sentenced. He pled guilty back in May to conspiracy to commit fraud. He gets a 5-month prison sentence. He was also fined $100,000. He's got to serve 500 hours of community service. Now, he paid $50,000 to cheat on his daughter's SAT so she'd get a good SAT score. Then he paid $50,000 in bribes. And then he paid $200,000 to claim that she was a water polo player. And so she'd be recruited for water polo. And my point is, I'm not sure how long Augustine or any of the parents in this, Felicity Huffman, whoever you want to name, should be going to prison. But this is a crime. And what's actually, to me, what's most upsetting about it is that you are not helping your kid. You're actually hurting your kid. The rules don't apply to you. We can get around them. We are incredibly wealthy. That doesn't help your kid. And it's also not how the world works. I mean, it does work to that way to a point. And maybe you could argue, well, the first call we took on this, they still got to go to class. They still got to get through USC. They didn't get in legally. That's not how it should work. By the way, this happens in sports too, where people get to be on the end of benches of college teams because they're huge donors to the athletic program. That's wrong too. Should be tryouts for the walk-ons. You shouldn't be able to get on said basketball team because daddy's got $10 million in the bank and he can afford to, or more than that, probably in these cases, way more than that, he can afford to buy it off. And I just don't think it serves the kid. You're not teaching a good lesson. We get Lisa in here. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. What's up, Lisa? Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I just wanted to comment. I agree with you 100%. I am a single mom, and my daughter earned her right. She is now a freshman at the University of Illinois. She wrote essays. She got scholarships. A wonderful program, the Golden Apple Scholarship Program, gave her an opportunity, and she will have to teach in the state of Illinois following her degree. But you know what? She earned it, and she's working hard every day. She even is in the work-study program and works in the cafeteria. She's learning a lesson, and she's doing a good job.
So let me hear this correctly, Lisa. You a single mom. I'm sure you would have loved to have, whatever, given your daughter, in this case, the life of, more privilege. But you did the very, very best you could, and she is perhaps better off learning to fight her own way, right?
That's right. She's earning it herself.
And so what do you think should happen to the parents who, God, listen, I'm not trying to say anything bad about somebody who's had an incredible career and's made a bunch of dough. Congratulations. I would love to do the same. I'm working on it right now. However, we're talking about a different thing here. So if you have money, fantastic. Good for you. I'm proud of you, too. But let's be responsible with it, right?
Well, I agree. And what happens to these kids in the future? Are they going to get jobs in mommy and daddy's companies now because they didn't graduate college or do it the right way? I mean, you need to worry about what's going to happen to those kids in the future.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right, Lisa, congrats on what you've done for your daughter, and thanks for calling.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
You as well. 312-981-7200. And I also don't want to come off as like some high-handed dude here, but this stuff matters, man. It's important. And everyone is entitled to their opinion, by the way. But, look, I'm sorry. Don't be going out and buying the SAT score. And for the record, by the way, let me just say this, too. I was scuffling at the University of Iowa, right? I had put myself on academic probation. And this is probably not completely relevant to the conversation, but just my own holes in it. I had to take a chemistry test at the midterm, right? Well, I was going to fail that test. And somehow, some way, I got around it. Now, am I proud of that? No. Did it serve me? No. Did I have to learn that lesson way later in life as I would get around other things and was not achieving to the level that I could have been? All that, there's cost to all this stuff. The fact that Anthony Valente came in and took the test for me and I got a B on the test and passed the class, it would have been better for me probably to fail the class and have to deal with the way I was going about my business then. rather than getting around it. So I'm not sitting here as some perfect person. It's partly why it matters to me, because I see how I got around things. And now you're helping. And as a parent, you should know better. Let me get Dr. Bob in here. What's up, Dr. Bob?
Well, I think that we should have the stocks come back and just stick them into stocks. Because it's all about pride and them wanting to look great. And I think the humiliation is really the price they're paying. I feel sorry for the kids, but I feel sorry for the kids years before this. Because if these parents had raised their kids and trusted their kids and helped their kids develop the discipline, their kids would end up where they belong. So you got to wonder what's going on with the parenting ahead of time. And you know what it is. You know, you've got helicopter parents that are dedicated to the kids' performance, but not necessarily to them learning.
Right. So so what you're saying here, Dr. Bob, and I believe this is a friend of mine. This is Bob Wright from the Wright Foundation.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Good to hear. Yeah. I really appreciate you calling in here, Dr. Bob.
But it was nice hearing your voice.
Thank you. And what you're saying is that, I think I'm hearing this correctly, the parents are doing this to make themselves look good. It's got nothing to do with the kid, right?
Absolutely.
And how gross is that? And I think that's a great naming right there. That's certainly a big part of what's going on.
And they've probably been doing it all along, and this isn't the first time they've cut corners rather than being great parents.
Yep. You're spot on right. Dr. Bob, you're the man. Thanks for calling, all right?
Okay, thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Dr. Bob, checking in here. You can too. 312-981-7200. Let me get Joe in here. What's up, Joe? Go ahead.
How you doing?
Excellent. Yourself?
So, not bad. So, I went to college out in La Jolla. And when I was there...
Joe, I think we lost you. I apologize for that. We got you now. I'll try to hang in here for one more second. Make your best point, my friend.
So I went to La Jolla, where tons of money came in from the Middle East so their kids could go there. I have friends who went to Northwestern, Ohio.
All right, Joe, I'm going to have to let you go here. We got a bad sell on it. I don't know where you were going, so I can't follow up on that. I apologize. Let's try Dave. No problem.
But, you know, I just wanted to make a point there. You know, not everyone is innocent. Not, you know, when some people are guilty, but I think some of the colleges.
Slow down, Dave. Yeah. You're on the air, Dave. What do you want to say, Dave? Go ahead.
I want to say that, you know, I know the parents are guilty. I know the kids are guilty as well. But I think that the colleges should pay something for this.
Interesting.
I think that some of these colleges were very prestigious, and yet all of these, you know, they're trying to get their kids in there. I think they should lose some of their integrity within the colleges all over the place.
Well, so hold on a second, okay. Dave. Hold on. Let me just make sure I'm following you. Are you saying that the people at USC knew damn well, in the case of Augustin Huniz Jr., that the kid wasn't a water polo player and they were looking the other way and just taking him and taking the money? Or is that what you're going with?
Because yes, that doesn't. I'm thinking that, you know, colleges, you know, everything is a roll down system. I cannot make a decision unless my supervisor knows, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Okay. That's the way the world works.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that these colleges knew what was going on. They're letting these people in. They're getting the money. Come on, they're taking the money from these rich people.
Yeah, but...
I'm thinking that, you know, if they're taking the money, they know what's going on, and I think they should be knocked down a notch or two.
Okay, and Dave, you might have a point in some circumstances that are not related to this scandal. But in this particular scandal, the coach of the water polo team is the one that's benefiting, not the university. That's who's getting the dough. So I don't really think that you can point at the top of the college food chain and say that USC in this case or any of the other schools were complicit in this particular situation. Now, you want to uncover a lot of stuff that goes on, especially in athletics with universities, that's a different story where they definitely do look the other way and take kids that perhaps don't belong at the university because they swell the bottom line. But that's a whole nother conversation that I don't really want to have right now. Let me get Christy in here. Welcome to WGN, Christy. Go ahead.
Hey there, Mark. How are you this evening? I'm great, Christy. Thanks for calling.
Great. Mark, I'm a single, divorced mom. I raised my three sons, and I believe them to have that integrity and to strive for goals. They worked work steady to help pay for their loans. They worked a regular job while they attended school. They were making major sacrifices. And for me to hear that someone got 2 weeks, for this indiscretion that they did with their children, it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
How long do you think they should have gotten, Christy, in your mind?
Yes, they should have gotten some jail time. They should have got, yes, community service, and they should be responsible for other children not having to pay student loans. They need to pay for some children's education.
Now, that would be, Christy, a very interesting consequence. You will now provide a scholarship for 100 kids going to school. I like that idea. But hold on, you didn't answer the question, though, Christy. I asked how long. In the case of Felicity, she got 2 weeks. She was in jail. How long do you think they should get?
I would say no less than 10.
10 weeks, 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Okay, you want to come with the hammer, Christy.
Based upon the amount of time people take to pay back their loans.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that should be the case. I'm not sitting here saying they should go to jail for 10 years. But I do think we should take a look at what's the underlying, what's going on here. And I think what Dr. Bob was saying was actually right. Parents trying to look better, capable. I'm some great parent through their kids. My kid's going to USC. You should be just as proud of your kid if he's going to community college and working his way. There's nothing wrong with that. Whether your kid is a lawyer or whether he's a waiter or whatever job you want to pick, listen, go for a ton in your life. Be as successful as you be. But like for a parent, you know, have pride in your kid no matter where he's at. And hopefully they'll continue to move forward. Let me do a quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, talking about the college admission scandal. Mark Carmen with you tonight. Justin Kaufman is up, going up until 10 o'clock. We'll keep going with this topic till the top of the hour. Look, this is a conversation about parenting. It's a conversation about integrity. It's a conversation about a lot of things. And there's a ton of text coming in here. But let me get back to the phone line. I'll try to respond to some of the text coming back. Let me get, let's go with you, Joe. Joe, welcome to WGN.
How you doing? I was the one who called earlier with a bad line.
Okay, what do you got, Joe?
I went to Scripps out in San Diego. There are plenty of foreign families that paid hundreds of millions of dollars, get their names on wings, they donated millions,
yep,
and their kids got to go to school there for free.
Yep.
I had friends who went to Harvard, Northwestern.
Yep.
Their family donated millions of dollars. They went to school for free.
Yep.
Not always the best grades. You had U of I, how many years ago, got nailed, the whole board, for taking kids out of state, worst grade point average than the kids who had 4.0, but their families donated millions of dollars to the school. Did the parents do wrong? Yes. Do the kids have to pay for it for the rest of their lives? Yep. But you know what? Like the other caller said, most of these universities know exactly what's going on. They take the money, and they'll look the other way for endowment. So while the parents are wrong, you can blame everybody from the Kennedys, the Bushes, all the way down the line who bribed schools all the way through the years.
Yeah, right. And Joe, great call. And listen, you're right. There's that. And this side of it is different. The college admissions scandal specifically, they're not giving that level of money. They're trying to pay still tons of dough. $50,000 here, $100,000 there, but it's not. They're not donating millions of dollars. But you're right. The concept that it's a very slippery slope. Like you want to have your name on the stadium. Okay, that's cool. You're donating a ton to the university. The university means a lot to you. Ryan Field, Welsh Ryan Arena. If we're talking about Northwestern, who of course is on the station. And then how are you, as a parent, of who's done been incredibly well. How are you helping your kids? Again, there's nothing wrong with having a ton of money. It's incredible. Congratulations. I want to be you. I'd love to drive a Porsche and or whatever and live in a ridiculous place. And I would have, let's see, I'd have a swimming pool, I'd have a tennis court, I'd have a basketball court, I would have an incredible steam shower, I'd have a chef cooking for me. I want all that. I do. There's nothing wrong with that. But then there's also a thing where you are teaching your kids values. And when you're paying for them to get into school, not paying for them to get into school, but if you're paying to get around things, SAT tests, then we're, that's not what we want. That's not what you should be doing. Let me get Jack. Are you a senior in high school?
Yes, sir.
That okay, my friend. Yep. Welcome to WGN. What's on your mind, senior in high school, Jack?
So I took my ACT earlier this year in May, and I wasn't really happy with the score. So my parents set me up in a tutoring class. But after that, they kind of took a step back and do my own work. I raised it up to what will set me up to get into my number one school. I just want to make a comment how I think it's more on the student as well as the parents to help work that work ethic and build it into them.
Yeah, how many kids in your class, Jack, do you know that think that their parents will take care of them, they don't need to work hard and do what you just did?
I'd say maybe not that many. We come from a school that doesn't really have a lot of money.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, good on you, man. What'd you raise your score went from what to what?
I went from a 27 to a 29.
Wow. So you just wanted a little bit better. I mean, you were right there,
yeah.
And you just needed, and you were willing to grind just to tick it up a couple more points. That's impressive, man. Where are you going to school?
I'm looking at Purdue, Notre Dame, Naval Academy, a couple others around Illinois.
The University of Iowa, Jack. Become a Hawkeye. It's a beautiful place. No, pick whatever you like, Jack. That's awesome that you're going to have options, man. Thanks for sharing, all right?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. Now, there's a kid right there who is proud of himself, right? I was getting 27. I said, hey, Mom and Dad, will you help me and put me in a tutoring class? I want to spend the extra time and try to lift myself up. That's awesome. Right, Pete? That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if I would have got a 27, I was like, done.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was
living happy.
Right. I'm living in the 22 land over here. 27. It's a competitive world out there, though. I think that's a good reminder, too. Hey, the 27's trying to get the 29. The 29's trying to get the 31. Is it still scored out of 36? I'm assuming it is. But I was like, oh, I mean, who will take me? I'm a terrible student. How can I slide by? Oh, the University of Hartford, I can go there, and then I can get in 24 hours, if I get over a 225, I get to go to the University of Iowa, and I look better because I'm at Iowa, and I can say I'm at Iowa. I just really wanted to say I was at Iowa, if thinking about that. It wasn't like, I wasn't going there because I wanted the Iowa education. I just wanted to look better. And that is a, wow. All right, I'm learning about myself right now on the show tonight. That's good. News at the top, and then we're going to move on from this. Dez Clark, your Chicago Bears, will be with us after 8 o'clock, 720 WGN. Enjoyed the college admission scandal conversation. Thanks to everybody who contributed, calling, texting. I'm just checking out some of the text line here. By the way, Mark Carmen with you for Justin Kaufman tonight. Is it wrong that you wait for an hour to get a table at a nice restaurant and a wealthy person walks in and gets a seat right away? That is different, right? Can we not agree that that's different? And that sucks. But they're rich. And they gave the maitre d' $100. They get a table. It's the way it is. That's part of the reason why you want to be a rich person, so you can walk into whatever restaurant you want to pick, and you know what? I'm going to walk right up to the maitre d', and I'm late, and here's $200, and I want that table right over there. And by the way, lift those people out of that table and send them on their way.
You know what was fun back in the day?
Jennings.
Walking into a crowded bar on M Street in D.C.
Okay.
And I'd have a drink placed in front of me. I didn't even have to order it. And people would be looking at me like I was the only black guy there, which made it even more entertaining. And it's like, how did Hugh get that drink? How come? And the bartender would just look at these people and just go, you heard of tips? He knows what they are.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, come on. We're all businessmen at the end of the day. Jennings News is coming up. Des Clark from your Chicago Bears. We're going to talk about that quarterback situation after 8 o'clock. WGN, the Bears and the Raiders. That is a noon kickoff on Sunday from London. Post game at 3 o'clock. Des Clark, number 88, with us here, the second leading receiver in Bears tight end history. Des, would you like to catch passes from Chase Daniel? Go ahead.
No, sir. I'm way past the prime with that. So I think if I go out there right now, I may pull 5 muscles and may drop 10 passes in one game. So I like to leave it just how people remember me.
Fair enough. Let's say, though, you were in your prime right now. Here are your 2 quarterback options, Mitch Trubisky, Chase Daniel. Who are you picking?
I'm still going to pick Mitch. Chase, he came in, he did a really good job. But Chase is a career-long backup for a reason, and that's not a slight against Chase. Being a backup in the NFL is a hard job, and it's only a few of those, but I'm still going with Mitch.
Were you impressed by Daniel last Sunday?
Absolutely. He came in the game. The thing that I like about Chase is I like his demeanor. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He takes like a business-like approach. And he just goes out and just plays the game, and he's calm with it. And I love that about him.
Do you think the Bears can be better with Daniel in the short term than they can be with Trubisky?
No. The next game or two, maybe so. But if you are looking at the entire 16-game season, you got to have Mitch come in there and play well going into the end of that season. And if this team is going to get to the Super Bowl, it's going to take Mitch to step his game up and be able to win some games for this team to continue to advance and go to where we think they can go. I don't think Chase is that type of quarterback. Again, he's a backup for a reason.
Do you think he knows the offense better?
Yeah, he probably does. He's been in this offense, what, for 6 years now or more? So, yeah, he does know the offense better. Mitch has been in for a year and a few games. So, absolutely, Chase knows the offense better than he does.
Former Bears tight end Des Clark with us here on 720 WGN. The Bears playing Oakland on Sunday. Then they have their bye week and then back at it on the 20th of October with the Saints at home. How much does it hurt Mitch missing basically the Minnesota game, missing the Oakland game? Can he step back in after the bye week like nothing happened here in your mind, Des?
Well, here's the thing that I'm worried about. If Chase Daniel plays well, Mitch is still going to come back and be our starting quarterback. I don't think there's going to be any type of quarterback controversy or anything like that.
I agree.
But psychologically for Mitch, if he sees the backup going there and playing well, and he hadn't played well this year besides one game, how is that going to affect his psyche coming back? Is he going to put more pressure on himself to do more, or is he just going to come back and play his game? And if he put more on himself and put more pressure on himself, I think that could have a negative effect if Chase is playing well when he comes back in.
We could flip it to the positive, though, right? Hey, look at how well this guy is doing. You should be doing the same. Any competitive guy, they want to prove that, hey, yeah, he did that, but trust me, I am better than Chase Daniel. Let me show you what I can do. And it could be a positive in some way. I think a lot of people, I'm thinking about myself right now, Des, when somebody, if I take a day off of work and somebody comes in and they do a great job, well, then I want to compete and show that, hey, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Something along those lines.
Yeah, and I get that. So let's look at a real life situation that I had when they brought Greg Olsen in 2007.
Okay.
Bigger, stronger, faster, right?
Okay.
He goes out, he makes plays. That didn't change nothing about my approach. That didn't change nothing about my game. I just knew when the plays came to me, I had to make the play. So whatever Greg did, that was great for Greg. I was going to play my game because I was confident in my game. You know, I had gotten to this point by doing the things that I had done, and I was good with that because I was productive. And I just knew if I kept doing what I had to do, no matter what anybody else was doing, I would make my plays. I think that's what our quarterback has to do. If he's confident in himself, don't put any extra pressure on yourself because, hey, somebody else is doing well. If you're doing the things that you need to do to be the best player that you can be. Maybe it hasn't clicked for you yet, but you keep doing those things. You don't change just because you see somebody else playing well. You don't put extra pressure on yourself because you see somebody else playing well. If his standard wasn't to be the best him before, then we have a problem already, because if he's going to raise up his standard because he sees somebody else playing well, well, maybe he's not the quarterback that we thought he was at the beginning, because your standard should be excellent no matter what.
I get that, but I also, like, listening to that story, it seems like you were doing your thing, but having Greg around, that didn't hurt you. It sounded like it maybe was, hey, okay, there's some competition right there. I'm going to use that to uplift me, even just if it's just a little bit.
I mean, you could say that. We competed. I could say this. Greg helped me be better because I had somebody who I was running with that was on my level or, you know, above my level that I had to compete with every day. So my skills sharpened because I had him there. But it didn't change anything about my approach to the game. And that's what I'm talking about with Mitch. If he's going to change up his approach, well, why wasn't you doing everything that you could do before you had another quarterback come in and started playing well?
It sounds to me like you're questioning Mitchell Trubisky's confidence in himself, Dez. Is that fair?
I'm not questioning anything until I see him get back and see how he plays when he gets back on the field. That's one of the things that could happen when he sees somebody that's playing well and he puts extra pressure on himself and doesn't go out and play his game. You know, he has to go out and play his game. I mean, Chase Daniels is Chase Daniels. They're going to like different things. They're going to see the field a little bit differently. And whatever his approach is, whatever his standard of excellence is for himself, has to still be that standard. Because if you could raise your standard because you seen somebody else playing well and you wasn't giving it that excellence day in and day out, especially at the quarterback position, I don't know if you have the right guy leading the team, because this is just a competitor in me. You can't make me change my standards because my standards are already high and my standards are already at the very, very top. Now, if we're training together, yeah, you could make me train a little bit harder because I'm trying to keep up if you're faster. But as far as the way I approach the game, you can't change that.
Former Bear tight end, second leading receiver at the position in the history of the franchise, Dez Clark with us here on 720 WGN, played in the Super Bowl. Rex is his quarterback. All right, let me ask you just one question before you go here on the defense, Dez. Nick Williams, this was a seventh-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers over 6 years ago. He played at Samford College, which most people haven't heard of. He was with the Steelers for 2 years on their practice squad. He was with the Chiefs. He was with the Dolphins. And he was out of football in 2017. And now, in three games, the dude's got four sacks, two against the Vikings, stepping in for Akeem Hicks last week. How does that happen? That just does not seem possible to me, that a guy who was out of football and seemingly discarded, all of a sudden, he looks like a force in there. I'm wondering, do guys get mis-scouted? How does this happen?
So there's a lot of things that go into a player being good. Like, you can have a great athlete in the wrong system, and you would never see the greatness of that athlete. I just think about Josh Rosen. We'll never get to see how good he could have been because of the two teams that he's on to start his first 2 years of his professional career. Dude is never going to be able to show his talent if he had that elite talent. Same thing with Nick Williams. You know, he might have been in the wrong system, might have, you know, just been in the wrong scenario for him. Maybe there was somebody in front of him that he didn't get the chance. He probably would have never got the chance on another team like he's gotten here. Then you put that with the scheme that probably suits him better, and now you see Nick Williams being able to show his athleticism and just how good he is as an athlete, and that's probably all it had to do. Or maybe he started training different, or maybe he, all right, well, if I don't get my act together, I'm never going to play in the NFL. Maybe he had to switch something within how he approached the game or trained that's different from when he – you know, when he first came into the league. I don't know what it is, but I know situations, circumstances, schemes, coaches, teammates been around you, switching up your mindset, your training, all of that can help you become a better player if you wasn't already doing it, everything at an excellent standard prior.
Well, whatever whatever's happened, congrats to him, because this is quite the coming out party, and that Bears defense, everyone thought they were going to miss Akeem Hicks, right? I'm assuming you did too, Dez Clark. But they didn't. The guy was great. Yeah.
Especially against the Minnesota Vikings. I was like, oh, we may be in trouble. And then we lost our middle linebacker in the same game for whatever reasons we don't know. So I'm thinking, oh, man, this game, it may not shape out the way we want it to. But the backups, they came in and they played their ass off.
They did. They did. Dez, you got a prediction for Sunday, Bears-Raiders?
I do. I don't see the offense putting up a whole lot of points. I see our defense playing their standard game, and what I'm predicting is 20-10, but it's a dominant 20-10 performance.
All right. That gets you to 4-1 into the bye. Can't complain about that. Dez, we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate the time, and always good to catch up with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Always good to catch up with you.
Let's actually do an informal text poll, if you will. Best burger in the city. I'm sure Chicago's Best has this nailed down. Best burger in the city, 312-981-7200. Now, I know that Pete Zimmerman can't answer that because you're a once vegetarian, now vegan. What's the best vegan veggie burger out there? Do we have that? Does that anything jump to mind? Chicago Diner? I know they supposedly do good work, right?
Yeah, just was recently at the Chicago Diner. It's classic up there on Clark, but I would recommend Handlebar.
Handlebar? Where's that?
It's on North and between Damon and Western.
Okay, all right. A little Wicker Park situational.
Yeah.
I'm feeling you. One more time the name for those of us who are...
Handlebar.
Handlebar. Who are have millions of thoughts going through their head at any moment. All right. Couple things here. First of all, thanks to Des Clark for jumping on. Adam Hoag's going to be with us from London. That'll be after 9:30 tonight. Yuri Lane, who's a very interesting character, is going to be coming in here at 9:05. Pete, this is, have you had Yuri in before?
We have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should know that. I apologize that I don't. But he's coming in here with a harmonica, and he's gonna do some what they call beatbox.
Yeah.
And I was reading about his journey. Interesting character.
The human beatbox.
The human beatbox.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try to keep up. So that's coming up over at 9:05 tonight. This is not a Chicago Bears story, but this is a Bears story that just, quite frankly, made me a little bit sad. And I'm just wanted to give a shout-out or, I don't know, like I feel like there's people that are listening to the show right now who love to go fishing, right? Go out in Lake Michigan or any lake in Wisconsin, Minnesota, right? You're listening to the program right now. And so you're kind of in the same category as a grizzly bear up in Canada. I don't know if people have noticed this one, but there's a Canadian photographer up there who's taking pictures. And these bears are, they look like they have an eating disorder. They're super, super thin. And the reason is just because there's no salmon in the water. So these dudes, they're, you know, our lovely bears, not Chicago Bears, but our regular grizzly bears, they're out in the wild. It's October. They're stocking up. They're eating everything they possibly can. They're getting ready to hibernate. Which I think would be cool if humans could do that too. I wouldn't mind hibernating. Can we just take a little couple of days off here, get off the old, you know, rat race for a second? But there's no food because of what's going on with the climate and whatever we're doing as far as fishing, and you look at these pictures and it's just upsetting. Like, come on, man, that bear deserves some food. And so what they're doing is they're actually taking salmon into the woods and leaving fish just in the marsh so the bears will walk up and find the food. Because they, you know, because these great people up there actually care about the bears. And I'm just thinking, like, hey, I know that everybody is focused on the dollars in their pocket and everything, you know, and all that stuff in the world, but it's like, you know, are we going to run out of, don't you want to go fishing? Do you want to have, I mean, I'm sure there's, I guess we're probably not running out of fish. I don't know. I went out to dinner this week. Halibut's on the menu. Salmon's on the menu. So they're getting it from somewhere. But then I see these pictures. I'm like, okay, this has got to, it's going to impact us at some point, right?
Yeah, those pictures are horrifying.
I mean, they really are. With hibernation fast approaching, a grizzly bear is spotted searching for fish near the shores of Canada's Knight Inlet. They're emaciated. The Knight Inlet is a prime tourist spot in British Columbia, Canada, which I understand is far away from here. The First Nation.
Yeah, that's
That's it, right? Right there. They've been monitoring the bears in Lull Bay for several years, and, quote, they have drastically changed within a couple months. The bears are in trouble. And I get that the bear in Canada doesn't necessarily impact you walking out and living your day wherever you are, most likely, but I think there's a lot of stuff that's coming that we can't even imagine if we don't get a lot more aggressive. And that was just, I don't know. I'm fingers crossed that something could be done there, but I'm wondering, like, what the future is going to hold here. It's scary out there is my overriding point here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up at the 8:30, after the 8:30 news, we are going to play the first ever Chelsea Bachelorette question game. Now, my lovely fiance is off on her bachelorette this weekend, and I was given the task of completing 34 questions. And I had to video myself answering these questions so they would put a montage together. And I guess she's going to be quizzed or whatever, and then I'm going to be put up there. And so I'm trying to orient as I'm answering these questions to what she would want me to say, and also what's actually spot-on honest. And so we're going to be looking for two contestants here after 8:30. And you can call now if you want. And we'll have a phenomenal WGN prize for you. But the questions are, you're going to have to really know your fiancé or your husband and or wife. And Pete and I are going to judge who's really giving the most honest answers. Now, I will warn you that some of these questions are not PG or PG-13, if that is still a rating. Some of these definitely belong in the adult entertainment section. So that will be part. I'm not going to make them all the questions, but you will have to answer some questions that, you know, perhaps might not be the most comfortable. That's why we're doing the Chelsea Bachelorette question game. Phone number is 312-981-7200. So that's coming up after 8:30. Now, one real quick thought before we get to news, as we move away from the sports. There is news out there today that the Chicago Cubs are going to interview Joe Girardi. And if you're listening to WGN all day, you might have heard me and Rokan talking about this right before I got the mic at 7. Joe Girardi wants to be the manager of the Chicago Cubs. So does David Ross, so does Mark Loretta, so does Mark DeRosa, so does a million. And who doesn't want that job, right? And just for the record, I would not have fired Joe Maddon. I love Joe Maddon. I thought he was a tremendous asset for the Cubs. I thought he was a tremendous asset for this city. He's on the Mount Rushmore of coaches. Phil Jackson, Joel Quenneville, Mike Ditka, Ozzie Guillen, Joe Maddon. Those are the five. And he was such a great guy off the field, too. So there was, and, you know, in my mind, you know, Theo's had a rough go of it for a couple of years now, which he's owned up on. I'm not firing Theo. You'll get it right. I wouldn't have fired the manager either. But they did. Okay. So how are you going to move forward? Joe Girardi brings you someone from outside the organization, so you get a fresh look there. He comes with a ton of do things right every single day, which is what they're talking about. The knock on Joe Girardi, why the Yankees fired him, is because he was having a hard time connecting with the young players in New York. I hear Joe Girardi talk on the radio. I hear Joe Girardi on TV all the time. I think Joe Girardi can bridge that gap. That's not a huge concern for me. So maybe he won't be maybe he won't be as good as David Ross could be at that, or Mark Loretta, guys who have played and are 10 years younger than him. But I'm going to guess that he can do it. It's just a question of whether or not Theo and company want to have a manager who's not going to, who they can't control. And my guess is that they will sign up for that. They've signed up for it before. So it was my original guess is that Girardi's going to get the job, and I'm sticking with it. I was waiting to see that. It didn't seem like they were going to interview him, but they are. So my prediction 10 days from now is that Girardi's getting this gig, and David Ross is going to be a manager somewhere else, and he deserves to do that. But I don't think he belongs right now with what this team needs in Chicago. Chelsea Bachelorette game coming up. All right, chance to make history right now. 8:35, 720 WGN. It's the first ever Chelsea Bachelorette game. My lovely fiance is on her bachelorette party. I had to answer 34 questions. I need two contestants here, team. 312-981-7200. We're playing for Lou Malnati's Pizza. 312-981-7200. To qualify for the Chelsea Bachelorette game, you need to either A, be married, or B, be engaged. One of the two. And actually, I'll give C. Long-time relationship that you think that you're going to get married, you qualify too. Those are the qualifications. Lou Malnati's Pizza on the line here for the first ever Chelsea Bachelorette game. 312-981-7200. Now, let me give you a little sample of questions that you will be required to answer. Question number one that I was forced to answer on video. Number one was, what will Chelsea say was your first intimate kiss and where did it happen? So, that would be for you. What was your first intimate kiss with your wife and or girlfriend, husband, whatever, and where did it happen? Now, this was challenging for me. I'm trying to think about it. Where was the first kiss? I'm not exactly sure. I think it was in the car, maybe. But I wasn't entirely certain. So Pete and I are going to judge you and see if, you know, your answers are actually up to snuff. 312-981-7200. And then there will be other ones. Like, question number three. How would your husband, fiance, complete this sentence? I wish my husband, fiance, wife would stop doing X, Y, Z. And now, of course, we do not have that person on the line, but Pete and I will be the judge if you're being honest with us in order to win Lou Malnati's Pizza. Now, we've never done this before, so we're breaking new ground. Let me see if this is going to work out. I like that we have a boy and a girl, a man and a woman. Bill, welcome to WGN. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Bill, what's your status here as we vet you for this game?
Married 26 years.
Married 26 years. Bill, you pass. What's your wife's name?
Phil. Jill.
Jill. Susie. I got it. We don't need the wife's name. Yeah. Never mind. Don't scratch that question, Bill. I got it. Katie, welcome to WGN. Yes. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent, Katie. Thank you so much for calling. What's your resume with it says you're married here, Katie. Is that the case?
Yep. I've been married for 21 years.
Okay, 21 years and 26 years, that's what you said, Bill?
Yep.
Okay, so we got two.
Well, and I should say 21 years went on October 18th coming up.
That, okay.
That's officially 21.
Well, you high integrity already out of the gates here, Katie. I appreciate that. Okay, 21 years coming up. All right. Let us get... Here we go. I'm excited. We got Bill... We got Katie, and we've got the Chelsea Bachelorette question game for Lou Malnati's on 720 WGN. Judges are Mark Harmon, yours truly, and Pete Zimmerman. Pete, are you nervous?
No, I'm ready, man. Bring it on.
I'm nervous.
No, I was asking Pete, not you, Katie. You seem ready.
yeah, I'm really excited. I love the Malnati's.
There you go. Who doesn't? All right, Bill and Katie. Bill, you're going to go first here. So, and again, we're going to have to vet whether you're being honest. So it's going to be challenging here, but I think we can do it. And then Katie, you're going to get to answer. We're going to do four questions here, team. Four questions. You think four questions, Pete? Four questions sounds good. Great. All right. Okay. Question number one. You can only take three things on a desert island, Bill. What would your beautiful wife bring? You can bring three things on a desert island. You guys are going away for 2 years to the desert island. Three things. What would she bring?
She would bring, like, pictures of our children.
Uh-huh.
She would bring her phone.
Okay. Picture the children, the phone, and what?
And probably a ton of clothes.
Pictures, clothes, and a phone. Katie, your turn.
Okay, so, and I'm answering what my husband would bring?
Yep.
He would bring some kind of gadget, like a Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
I think he'd bring a swimsuit because he wouldn't be, like, wanting to be walking around naked.
You're telling me, like, Tom Hanks Castaway, he still wants to wear a bathing suit?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And Chapstick,
a swimsuit, and a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Pete, you get to judge this one. Who's our winner in round one? Because this is, I think they both sound fairly honest, but, like, let's go with a more in-depth. Who came more correct in question one?
Well, I like Bill saying photos. I feel that's,
yeah, that
that's
was nice.
Pretty
that was
important.
Nice.
But when you're on a deserted island, useless. So I'm going to go with Katie.
Wow!
Because I like...
I know, because you would like want your chapstick too, right?
And the gadget. Yeah, and sort of gadget. I think the gadget is important.
See, but now, I'm thinking of... Okay, Katie's up 1-0 here. But Bill, I liked your answer because Tom Hanks in Castaway, all he did was look at the wife's picture and it kept him alive.
Oh, you know, that's a good point.
You know?
That is a good point.
But you know, that I gave Pete the judge there, so... So there we go. We got to do it that way. All right.
Okay.
This means, Katie, you are going first.
Let's, okay.
Pete, should we go PG, PG-13, R, or X?
PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was asking.
Oh, no. Let's go R.
You want to go R?
PG-13 anyway.
All right. Okay.
Well, guys, this is going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit. It'll be a little interesting here. Let's
Bill,
see.
You might beat me on this one.
Let's see here. We'll make it somewhat. We'll make it somewhat easy. Katie, okay. what is your husband's favorite form of foreplay? What is your husband's favorite form of foreplay?
I think anticipation.
Anticipation.
Yeah, like knowing it's going to happen. It's like I did the whole thought beforehand.
So it's like it's on the schedule, it's on the calendar, that's all he needs?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys plan it out, Katie? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't want to say too many details.
Okay.
But yeah, I think like just knowing it's going to be happening.
So he wants a date and a time, and that is, that. Okay, I got you. Bill?
Yeah, not that specific. You know, not necessarily date, no, just know what's happening.
Like,
you know?
Tonight's the night. You're this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay, we got a tonight's the night. That's all that he needs. Good on him. What about you, Bill?
I think whenever my wife says, you know, honey, can you give me a little bit of a back rub?
Oh.
That's sort of a code.
The back rub.
So we start with the back rub.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then, you know, you can figure out pretty quickly where the evening's going
to
head.
Right. But she likes the little back rub scratches.
Yeah,
that starts to...
Like, put it on the calendar or schedule it or come out and say it, but sort of in code, like, hey, honey, I'm a little sore. Could you rub my neck a little bit? Or, you know, my feet are a little, you know, I've had a rough day.
So, but she's getting, so that's
like a little coat.
Right, but so that's the hint for you, but that's also,
oh, yeah.
That's also
four. Oh, yeah, you got to pick up on it, though.
Okay, all right. What do you think here? What do you think, Pete?
Because I'm sure there are some times where she just wants the back rub.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mm,
good point.
Ooh. Now, you just shot yourself in the foot, Bill, with that one.
But I think I'm going to go with Bill on this one.
Wow.
Oh, just as a guy.
just
because, you know, it's like, you know, in baseball, 300 average is like an all-star, right? You know, you get a 500 average on back rub, you're doing okay.
Yeah, and Katie, by the way, like, I think your husband might fight back that the calendar, that he needs more than the calendar. So I know that you're upset, but I think 1-1 is a fair scorer.
I think that's okay. I think actually Bill beat me.
Okay.
I think he had a better answer.
There we go. All right, we got two more here. Okay. Actually, even numbers do not work. We're gonna make this a best of three. We're gonna put it all on the line right here. Or do you want to go best of five? You want to go best of five? Let's go best of five. All right, we'll do the best of five. All right, so it's first to three here, team. All right, Bill, you get to pick this one. PG-13, R or X?
R was good last time, so let's go again.
Okay. All right, Bill. What is the most outrageous place that you and your lovely wife have made whoopee? What is the most outrageous place?
So, everybody in Illinois loves Spotted Cow. They come up to Wisconsin and they, you know, go on the brewery tour up there in New Glarus.
Yeah.
Let's just say,
you could go off the tour?
Next time you go to the New Glarus brewery and you're enjoying it,
yeah,
think of me.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill.
I don't know if I can say anything more.
No, you said enough.
You're looking out over the valley, and they've got the beautiful stonework and everything. And beyond that wall, there's a little plaque with my name on it.
Bill, I am so proud of you. Was this recent, or what are we talking?
A few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Married 26 years. So.
Right, well, that's a good job. Katie, you want to try to top that one for round two?
Our place is on the rocks on Diversity Harbor. So
wow!
Terrible. But you know, like those like flat rocks. So I don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit it.
No, you shouldn't be embarrassed. You should be proud. What time? What are we talking? Early morning or late at night? There or just midday here,
no,
Katie? How creative
late
are
at night.
Late at night? Wow!
Yeah.
Wow! People are just so good at what they do. See,
yeah, so sneaky, huh? Well, who knows?
Right. This is a tough one here, team. This is a very tough one. I think I got to vote with Katie because it's even more. That's more daring to me. The rocks at Diversity Harbor. I mean, the biker could be riding by and stopping to.
No, terrible.
Have you ever been caught?
But no, we only did that one time.
Oh, okay, it was only a one-time thing. Well, one time's enough. Congratulations. Bill, you were great, too, but Pete, you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yep, okay.
All right, 2-1. Ooh, this is good. I'm really enjoying this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing.
I do love Spotted Cow, too.
And Spotted Cow, right?
Really gonna...
This is a fantastic beverage. Let's see here. Let's get romantic for the next question, okay? Let's see how well you guys remember it. Where and when, who's going first? Or Katie, you're first. Where and when did you first say I love you? Where and when did you first say I love you?
I think it would be when we met my husband. Let's see, he had a condo on Brightwood and we were sitting on the rooftop up there. And that's where he told me he loved me the first time. It was a beautiful night. And we went out for dinner, had a martini. I've never been a martini drinker. Had a martini. Then we went up to the rooftop of his building afterwards. And it wasn't like a fancy rooftop, you know. It was just like really, really simple. And just hung out there. And that's where he told me he loved me.
And how long were you dating at that point, Katie?
Probably about 3 months.
Aww.
4 months.
And look at you guys, 21 years later? 21?
Yeah.
Aww.
Crazy, huh?
Did you say I love you back?
Yeah, definitely. Aww. I was in love with him. Aww. I was in love with him from the start.
Aw, that's so beautiful. Bill, can you top that?
I don't know if I can top it, but it's a little bit different. So back in the day, we were going to a Halloween party, and I'm much taller than my wife, so I was dressed as the Statue of Liberty.
And she was, you know, dressed like a biker girl. And so we went to this Halloween party, and, there, you know, not martinis, but I think it was old-fashioned beer. And at the end of the whole thing, we were just sitting there and just reflecting on the night and everything we'd been through and everything. And I just reached over, grabbed her, gave her a kiss, and said, you know, I love you. Uh-huh. And she looked at me. She goes, you know what? I love you, too. And that was it. And we've been together ever since.
Oh, that's I love that, because it's not like the movie I love you. It's more just like
it wasn't planned.
Yeah, and I want to do a fifth question. So Bill, I think we got to make Bill the winner here.
Yeah, that, I mean I love the rooftop.
I love that. Beautiful, Katie.
That's pretty but cool.
Saying I love you dressed as a Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that tips it
in. Green face paint, the whole thing. I was looking good.
Good job, Bill. Everyone's proud of you. Even your competitor, Katie. We can hear it. You get the
yeah. That's pretty good, Bill.
All right, last one here for the win. The pressure is on. I'd love to play this all night, but we got to continue on with the show. All right, let's see. Okay, I am going to go with. I got 34 questions here. It's a tough one to pick out, but I'm gonna do this. What would your husband and or wife say would make you the happiest person on the earth? What would they say? What would your wife say about you? Who's first here? Bill's Katie. Bill, you're first. What would you say, Bill, your wife would say would make you the happiest person on the earth? So this is also you knowing you and also your wife, how well she knows you. What would you say?
Wow, a tough question. I think if you ask my wife what would make, she would probably come back at first saying, you know, he is a pretty happy guy all the time. So there isn't just one thing that would make him happy. I think it's, you know, being older or whatever, it's accumulation of his life that, you know, that his kids are doing well, that, you know, that he's, you know, had a good career. You know, just the whole life thing. Yeah.
Okay, I feel you, Bill. There's a beautifulness to what you just said. Katie, where are you going?
For me, it's like an absolute no-brainer. He would say, that what would make me the happiest would be to sell our house, buy a simple condo, and then buy a simple little house on a lake that's big enough for all our family to go just to have awesome family time. Like for weekends, for weeks here and there, but just to have really, really great family time on a lake, no cell phones, just all our family just being together. That would be my absolute dream.
And some rocks out in the distance.
Oh, yeah, rocks, water, and then just walking and just like our dog just hanging out.
I think you missed
I did miss that.
You missed
there
that
you
one,
go, Katie.
I did. I'm too innocent.
Well, maybe
I'm
not.
All
right. Okay, it's too much pressure for me, so I'm going to make Pete choose Oren. Pete, I'm going to give you the option to also declare a winner, but make them both winners, and they can both have Lumel 90s. It's up to you, Pete.
I am going to pick Katie as the winner.
All right.
Congrats, Katie.
But Bill, also a winner.
There you go, Bill.
And two right. Lou Malnati's pizzas.
Everyone's a winner on the Chelsea Bachelorette Show. Thanks for sharing, team. You made radio history.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
It was our pleasure. We'll see you out at Spotted Cow Brewery and on the at Diversity Harbor. All right. Thanks, guys.
And so what do we do to get the pizza?
Don't worry, Katie. What I'm going to do is put you on.
Forget me.
Yeah,
don't you
worry. I'm going to put you on hold. And you're going to get to talk to Pete, okay? Hang on. Quick.
Okay, great.
You're both going to hang on, and we will.
Okay, see you, Bill.
Yep, see you, Bill. All right, guys. The first ever Chelsea Bachelorette game on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We got a big 9 o'clock hour coming up. Thanks again. How about that? Kelly. I'm sorry. What were their names? God, am I bad? Names are the worst. You can talk on the air, Pete. I don't know.
Katie and Bill.
Katie and Bill, right. My first ever girlfriend was Katie. God bless her. And I've never dated a Bill. Thumbs up for me. Go, Bill. My favorite Bill ever. Let's go with Bill Carmody, former head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats. And let's go with Bill Cartwright, That's the way I could have remembered that. You know, you got to think about how you remember these things. All right, moving forward, the 9 o'clock hour. There's a lot going on in this city that I'd like to address before we get out here, including the teacher strike and where that is at. There's some updates on that. But to start off the hour, Yuri Lane, who is going to be in studio with us, he's bringing a harmonica and he's bringing his own talent. And Yuri is awesome. I've never talked to him before, but you can check him out online if you want to real quick. YuriLane.com, YuriLane.com. The Midwest Beatbox Battle. So we're going to hear somebody basically, the way I'm understanding it is a little bit of rap with a harmonica and some beat, and that's all coming at you to start 9 o'clock. Now, also, we're going to check in London somehow, some way during the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to run down our guy Adam Hogue, who's following the Bears around, getting ready for the Oakland Raiders. If we have a WGN correspondent in London, it feels wrong to not have him on the show, so we'll be doing that. And it is upsetting to learn what is in your food. I guess I can talk about, I got 1 minute to talk about it right now, but did you know, and we'll readdress this coming up here, did you know that the coffee beans that you grind for breakfast are the ones that are being ground at whatever place you get your coffee? They have an average of 10 milligrams or more of animal feces per pound. Your coffee has animal poop. As much as 4 to 6% of beans by count are also allowed to be insect infested or moldy. 4 to 6%. So, you know, when you drop something on the ground or drops on the carpet, don't eat that! Don't eat that!
You do realize that there is one particular kind of gourmet coffee.
Yeah?
That is the result of an animal eating the beans.
Let's talk about that coming up after 9 o'clock. Your Jennings News coming straight ahead. All right, it's the Midwest Beatbox Battle, October 11th, 12th, 13th, right here in beautiful Chicago. Yuri Lane is in studio. Yuri, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
No, Yuri, I've never met you before until this moment, correct?
That's right.
You look exactly how I imagined you would look. You got a sweet hat on that, I don't know what that, you got like laces coming out of the front.
It's like shoelaces, but yeah. It's a shoelace hat.
What? It's did you create that yourself?
No, I know this is radio, you can't see. My friend at True Heads in Minnesota designed it.
Okay, how'd I do in describing the shoelaces? That was great, right, Pete? That was on the money. I want to give a little background here. You were born in Holland?
That's right.
Okay, and then you grew up, though, in San Francisco.
I am a child of
hippie parents. Hippie parents, Haight Ashbury, living the dream.
Living the dream.
Right. So you're waking up, I don't even know exactly specifically what that looks like. I don't want to do stereotypes, but you're saying you hippie
grew up in San Francisco in the 70s and 80s. It was really a great experience, a city of tolerance, and every day was Halloween, walking down the street, and it was just a great experience living there.
The best breakfast I've ever had is at the Pork Store, which is on Hayden. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know the Pork Store.
It's like a divey, small, incredibly delicious breakfast place that I frequented when I was having my first midlife crisis, which was right after college, and just drove west and didn't stop. But we went to see the Cubs play in Colorado. 4-game series, so we're sleeping outdoors, no tent, no nothing, and the series is over, like, well, we were in the parking lot, should we come home back to Chicago? No, let's go forward. And so we went from there to Vegas and then LA and then up, and that's when I got to the Pork Store. So I've been to Haight Ashbury, and that's a really cool spot. So it definitely influenced you, right? I'm sure growing up in that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, being in San Francisco, growing up during that time, you know, I had friends of all different races, and beatbox was just always part of my life, and was always beatboxing in math class and getting myself in trouble. And now I'm living in Chicago since 2003.
So that's what it says in your bio, that the teachers in school were telling you, this is not the radio, dude. We're here in class.
That's right.
So I'm wondering, like, what do you think about a kid who's like, you know, not necessarily wants to be in the perfect box of I'm learning, whereas you were doing your own thing. Do we have enough space for kids like the young Yuris out there?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of space. I've been teaching beatbox for 25 years, ages 1 to 3 to high school to college age. And beatbox is a rhythmic language that everyone can speak and everybody can understand.
So for the person who's driving around right now saying, well, what is beatbox, Yuri? I don't understand. What would you say?
Well, the best way to describe beatbox is to... Beatbox.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know if he wants my help or not, but this is amazing.
All right. Hello, Mark.
Do you do this all day? Can you do this all day?
I can do it all day, but my wife probably says, let's have a conversation sometimes instead of...
So when she says something that you don't want to hear, do you go right into it? I would. If I could do that, that would be my way. I would do that. I'd leave the room and I'd go do something else.
My wife's a professor, so, you know, sometimes she likes the English language. But, you know, she's been my director and writer for some of my solo beatbox shows, so she enjoys the beatbox.
So it's, okay, hold on. Like, to win the beatbox competition that's coming up here, do you have to do that and talk into it and play the harmonica? Like, how does one win? Like, what are you trying to... Like, now I'm in, like, Eminem, and we're in 8 Mile, and you have to be creative with your voice, too? So
the Midwest Beatbox Battle has been going on for several years. This is the second year that it's in Chicago. The opening night, October 11th, I'll be performing, but it's called the Open Elimination. So you'll have 20 to 30 beatboxers will get up, and they'll have a minute and 30 seconds to show their skills. And then they'll choose out of that 30 or 40 or 25, depending on how many people have signed up. Then the next day, Saturday, will be the open eliminations. After the open eliminations, there are 16 beatboxers. Then they compete against each other, depending on the rankings. And then there's only one winner.
Can you do like a beatbox and tell a story about yourself all at the same time?
Yeah.
You could.
I could.
Have you ever done something like, I don't know. What's like... I'm looking for something here, Yuri. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but like I feel like I would want to hear you like do that and like weave in like, I don't know, a story about your wife or a story about your childhood or a story about your best friend. I don't know.
Shall we start from birth?
Sure, why not?
We're in San Francisco. I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Psst. The whole world is watching. Psst. The whole world is watching. Psst. Hey, can I get some change, man? I met my wife. Oh. Now we live in Chicago. The Cubs. The Bears. I hope they win in London. Chicago, the home of the blues.
Yeah. Jordan, Ditka, Madden, I hope I'm not ruining the song.
Dish.
Lou Mal.
Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I hope that somebody like turned on the radio right in the middle of that. I was like, what in the hell is going on at WHN? That was incredible, man.
What is happening in this studio?
So Okay, let's take a quick time out. You've been in things from Tel Aviv to Ramallah. You've been in Soundtrack City, which was talked about the transformation of urban neighborhoods and gentrification. So there's a lot of depth here that I want to hit on.
Yeah,
real
a lot
quick
of my solo beatbox plays, and we'll talk more about Midwest Beatbox Battle and what's happening next week and in the future.
Yuri Lane in studio, yurilane.com. Did I say that right?
That's right, but Beatbox Harmonica Man on Instagram.
Okay, Beatbox Harmonica on Instagram. 720 WGN. Yuri Lane's in studio here. Mark Harmon with you, sitting in for Justin Kaufman tonight, taking you until 10. Jordan Bernfield's coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. Yuri, I mentioned from Tel Aviv to Ramallah, which it says on your website here, yurilane.com, it steers clear of ideology in order to show the daily lives of young people during the Second Intifada. So that is a depthful, incredibly complex topic right there. And let's so what was Tel Aviv to Ramallah?
So Tel Aviv to Ramallah, a beatbox journey, is a story about two guys. One, his name is Amir, and he is a DJ by night and delivers packages by day. And Khalid is a Palestinian internet cafe owner. And I go back and forth between both their lives, play about 16 different characters, and using mime, beatbox, acting, and dance, I tell a story about daily life in Tel Aviv and in Ramallah. And my wife, Rachel Haverlock, wrote and directed the play. And we did the show over 300 times all around the United States, in theaters, in holy places, did the show in Israel, did the show in Helsinki, and I've just shared this vision of peace using beatbox as this universal language. And it was a great experience. And now things have changed dramatically. And so I'm not doing that show anymore, but I still continue to try to bring peace in the Middle East through the art of beatbox.
And that's, you know, we were talking before you came on, you're in your late 40s. I'm in my mid 40s. I'm 2 age difference, but I'm just going to claim, I'm going to claim that. This has been going on, but it doesn't matter how old you are, actually. This has been going on forever. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that it was something that was on your heart that you wanted to try to present and do through song/performance. So how did you get to that? But like, you know what, I'm going to tackle this.
So I took a trip in 1998 with Rachel. We went from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, to Ramallah. And I just was really enamored by the culture and by the people. And I just would rewind back each day in beatbox. And I decided, you know what? We should do a show about this. And so my wife wrote the script, and we would kind of work together. I would start to beatbox and develop these characters, because the idea is that every character in the show has their own has their own beatbox, has their own soundtrack.
Okay.
So you're identified with each character, like Khalid, Habibi. And then there's Khalid, and there's Amir, and there's lots of different sounds. So I try to bring the pulse of Tel Aviv and Ramallah together with lots of different music and bring it to life on stage.
It's almost like you could do the same thing with the city of Chicago, right? I mean,
that's right. There's Soundtrack City Chicago.
Right. I mean, so that's okay. So that's Soundtrack City, right? Okay. So what's that all about?
It's a beatbox journey through the urban landscape. And I take different modes of transportation. There's Mike the Bike Messenger. My name is Mike, and I love to ride my bike. And so through a bike, through the L, and it takes you through this journey through the city. And it was 2004, 2005, and we started to kind of look how neighborhoods were changing, and people were being uprooted from their neighborhoods because the rents were going up, and how everyone goes about their lives and doesn't listen to what's going on around them and doesn't listen to each other. And so that was one of the themes of the show, and it was just so great to just take this trip. I would take public transportation and kind of find characters and bring them into the show that I would see on the L. And Soundtrack City was born.
Where would you perform Soundtrack City?
We performed Soundtrack City at different theaters in Chicago.
I guess how was it received? What were people's reaction? Were people like, so you're on some level, I think people like, hey, that's not true, or did you get any of that?
You know, I mean, I think there's always criticisms, and I try to take what people are very passionate about the city and how they see the city. But primarily, I got good reactions, and you know, all the different neighborhoods, they're like, yeah, that's like Wicker Park, or you know, that really brings Pilsen to life, or that's really downtown Chicago, because people, you know, sometimes they'll remember the city through sound.
Was there a goal of what you were trying to sort of underline about Chicago when you were doing it?
I was really trying to just kind of be a sponge and take in all the different things that I was learning about Chicago at the time. And I saw that people were segregated. People were living in certain neighborhoods and wouldn't go to the other neighborhood. And we're still kind of dealing with that. And that, you know, people, I don't go to the West Side. Well, go to the West Side, because the West Side and the South Side are beautiful neighborhoods full of life and full of culture. And, you know, don't just stay in the North Side. So see the city for all it is. And it's a great, beautiful city with problems, but with things that make Chicago unlike any other place in the world.
What years were you doing that show?
I was like 2004, 2005, 2006.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking back to Jackie Robinson West, the Little League team, that I have never in this city seen it come together like it did around that Little League team. Mm, I mean, we were coming out from WGN Radio on Michigan Avenue and going to Clark and Lake right outside the Chicago Theater. Whole team's there, and they're having a rally for the team. And there are people from all over the city and all over the suburbs. And, like, you know, I'm going out there with a tape recorder. And I'm asking them, like, and to your point about the West Side or whatever, people are saying, like, look, everybody thinks that there are no good stories going on over here, that nobody's doing anything right. And they just really, like, wanted the city, the rest of the city, to know, like, hey, it's not all bad over here. And, you know, on some like real minor level, like, we're people too. And by the way, I go to work and I work really hard, and my son's going to school, and he's not. It was beautiful.
There's this incredible festival, Silver Room Block Party, that's been happening for many, many years now. Eric Williams, who is the owner of the Silver Room, and she's just kind of like, feels like he was the mayor of Wicker Park, and now he's in Hyde Park on 53rd Street, and they've had the Silver Room Block Party, and primarily African Americans and people of color getting together, African American businesses, 30,000, 60,000 people over the course of an entire day, not one arrest, no problems, just joy, happiness, great music, great food. And so we don't hear about those stories, but yet they're happening. And so that's what me as an artist, as an actor, as a musician, I'm trying to seek those stories out and bring them to life on stage.
Yeah, I just think it's real cool. Soundtrack City, and then Tel Aviv to Ramallah.
Ramallah. There you go. You got it.
I mean, wow. That's just a bad job by me. But I was in the general ballpark, right?
Yeah,
I was,
you were. Okay, you were. Right.
But I just, you know, there's obviously, you're having a ton of fun doing this, but there's a real heartfelt Yuri underneath there that's trying to, you know, do right by the world, which I love about you.
Yeah, I try to inspire people and bring the beatbox to people of all walks of life. And, you know, when I moved to Chicago, you know, I could beatbox into the harmonica, but I was not a harmonica player, and I would just go into the clubs and listen to these incredible blues harmonica players, and it made me a better harmonica player, and combining the beatbox and the harmonica together was kind of a natural thing, and makes people happy, makes people clap their hands. And so when I see people smile and clap, and that's just a great thing.
No doubt. So a couple things before you get out of here. The Beatbox Battle, once again, October 11th, 12th, 13th. What do people need to know?
So, yeah, next Friday, October 11th at Bourbon on Division is the open elimination. And then Saturday at CSZ Theater from 2 to 6 is going to be from 16 beatboxers. There's only going to be one champion. We've got the live Loop Station Battles. And then we've got Sunday, October 13th, back at Bourbon on Division for a VIP party. You get to meet the incredible beatboxers, the judges, and the eventual winner.
And I know you wanted me to bring a Fancy Plants Cafe.
Fancy Plants Cafe, that's right. You know, being a beatboxer, I'm also a vegan chef, and I had the pleasure to help open up Fancy Plants Cafe January 1st, 2019. We have Kevin Schroeder, who is the owner of the cafe, and we work together to try to make this incredible plant-based cafe open to the public. And we're open 7 days a week. Saturday and Sunday, we have 4 to 5 course dinners, and we have different themes. This Saturday, tomorrow, we have omakase Japanese-style cuisine, and then Sunday, we have kids' meals. So a whole take on kids' meals. We've got pepperoni and vegan cheese hot pockets. We've got popcorn soup. We've got peas and carrots. And then we've got peanut butter and jelly vegan ice cream sandwiches.
So hold on a second here, because I was talking to Pete before the show, and he's like, don't you miss ice cream? No, I'm kidding. The vegan ice cream. But it's not. Don't you miss ice cream? I mean, come on.
You can make ice cream out of coconut.
No, you can't.
You can make ice cream out of nuts. You can make ice cream.
What about
cream.
The cheese?
The
vegan cheese?
Oh, we make our own vegan cheese at Fancy Plants Cafe. We make a cashew mozzarella that will blow your mind. We make Parmesan out of almonds. We make blue cheese. We make any type of cheese, and all you need are nuts.
You make the cheese from nuts?
That's right. What am I, nuts? No. It is amazing.
They have vegan creameries
in London. They've now opened up 3 of them.
Vegan creameries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. People are making cheese out of nuts, out of soy, out of lots of different things.
Okay. Hey, listen, I want to live a long life. I think this is a great health choice. But there's just certain things that, you know, I'm a reducetarian, by the way.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I'll go with that.
What we're all about is letting people come into Fancy Plants Cafe and try our cured carrot smoked salmon with our cashew cream cheese on a bagel. You will not know the difference when you bite into that bagel and you go, wow, am I tasting salmon? No, you're eating carrots.
Really?
And so getting people to come in and go, man, these vegetables are really, really good. So if people eat less meat and less dairy, that's a good thing. So we're not trying to tell people, go 100% vegan. We'd like them to eat less and less dairy and meat. And a great way to do it is to eat at Fancy Plants Cafe.
Yeah. See, I think everybody can digest that one. Like, I'm not giving up the double cheeseburger ever. But I don't need to do that every day. I don't need to do that even once a month. I just want to have it out there. It's like a big treat when something good comes along. And then I pray, okay, all right, enough about me. Yuri, great to see you.
Thank you.
YuriLane.com. And one more time, where do you find out the beatbox stuff?
The beatbox stuff, yes. You can go
on MidwestBeatboxBattle.com.
Once again, MidwestBeatboxBattle.com. If you want to find out more about Fancy Plants Cafe, go to FancyPlantsCafe.com. And of course, you can follow me on Instagram, Beatbox Harmonica Man.
Great to see you, Yuri. Thanks for coming in, my friend.
WG.
WGN checking in over the pond in London. This doesn't happen every day. Adam Hoge, our Bears reporter, hanging with the Chicago Bears. Hoge, what's the best thing that's happened so far in London?
Oh, man. It has been an adventure so far. Not going to get too much in all the negative things that have happened, but my bag's been lost, so I've been wearing the same Northwestern hoodie since I left Chicago, which I think is 2 days ago now, but I'm losing track of time.
Go Cats.
But to stay positive here and answer your question, the Bears practiced at a rugby stadium today, and it was pretty cool. And, you know, it was supposed to be raining today, and instead it was sunny out. There was a nice sunset. And they were practicing sort of under the lights, Friday night lights in London, and it was in a rugby stadium, which made it cool. But otherwise, I honestly at this point haven't seen much of London, but hopefully will tomorrow.
You should definitely do that. What do you make of the sort of momentum that is building around football, that the Bears could be just as good, but maybe even better with Chase Daniel at quarterback, from a lot of people who know a lot about the game?
I'm on board with the idea that right now, based on where the offense was the first few weeks with Mitch Trubisky, that Chase Daniel can operate this thing a little bit better, and maybe the Bears can move the ball more efficiently than they were before. However, I am not
on board with the idea that Chase Daniel is going to take this offense to a level that is capable of winning this team a Super Bowl. I give him all the credit for what he's doing as a backup. This guy's in his 11th season, all right? This is going to be his fifth start in the NFL in 11 years on Sunday. There's a reason for that. So he's smart. He's like a coach there on the field, which is never a bad thing at the quarterback position. And right now the results might be better than what we saw early in the year. However, if this team is going to compete at the level of the Kansas City Chiefs or the New England Patriots in January, they have to get a high, even higher level of quarterback play. And when you look at Mitchell Trubisky's ceiling, although it hasn't looked great so far, we're still talking about the guy with the better arm, the better legs, more athleticism. But he needs to figure it out from the neck up. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen if he comes back, but I am saying the Bears need to get him back and need to continue to get develop him on the field for them to find out if by January they can get enough from the quarterback position to win the Super Bowl.
Adam Hogan, London, never done this before on 720 WGN. We're making history as Mark Herman, yours truly, sits in for Justin Kaufman tonight. Roquan Smith says he's playing, and then Matt Nagy says, yeah, not so fast about that. What can you tell us about what's going on with the Bears linebacker who's clearly had a very interesting week or so right now?
Yeah, no, he's playing. Nagy did finally give in to us on that today at the rugby stadium after practice that he is playing. So I don't know why he was so, you know, handled the questions the way he did this week and certainly left things open to interpretation and didn't really go to bat for the linebacker, considering all the rumors that were flying out there. What I, the way I personally choose to interpret all that is he did something that upset the team. I don't know what all the reasons are behind the scenes, but I do think for the head coach to treat the situation the way he did and to leave it open-ended when asked directly if there were legal issues, if there were disciplinary issues, that tells me that he at least did something that irritated the coaching staff. And until they say otherwise, that means that it's at least in the realm of possibilities for us to look at that missed game on Sunday essentially as a one-week suspension, as a one-game suspension. He comes back Wednesday. He's practiced in full. Everything seems to be fine, and he's going to play now against the Raiders. So of all the things that are out there right now, explaining it that way seems the most plausible to me.
Do we believe that Roquan Smith was out the night before a game and crashed his car into another vehicle? I know we don't know these things for sure, but is that the general belief?
Was he out? Maybe. Was a curfew missed? I certainly think that that's plausible based on how everything's been handled, but we don't know that for sure. As far as the car, I don't know. It's pretty much been debunked that it's not his and that there is no police report that says Roquan Smith's name, so I don't think so. But you know what? Honestly, at this point, I mean, they've moved on, so I think everybody else needs to move on until there's more. If more pops up, then we can all talk about it. But in the meantime, you know, he's going to be out there on the field, and the Raiders have a pretty good tight end in Darren Waller that needs to be covered.
Just trying to be Perry Mason over there for an old school reference. Something's not right here, Adam Hogue, but okay, I will take your
advice. I'm not debating that.
I know you're not.
You know,
I know you're not.
We could put Chuck Gowdy on it or something.
That's a great idea. Let's call up Chuck Gowdy, get him on the case, because we need a Gowdy level of talent to figure out what's going on here. Props to you, Chuck Gowdy. Hey, before you go, I know you're busy out in London here. Key to the game on Sunday to beat the Raiders.
You know what? I would just say stop the Raiders running attack. Josh Jacobs, their rookie, which ironically they used the Khalil Mack pick on to draft him. He, you know, they got a little bit of a running game, but they're still limited. Their wide receivers are all banged up right now. Three of their six wide receivers are questionable for Sunday. So if you stop Josh Jacobs, you make them extremely one-dimensional. Then you get the pass rush going. Then you get visions of Khalil Mack sacking Derek Carr three or four times in this game, forcing a couple fumbles, maybe returning one for a touchdown. To make all that happen, they need to take the running game away, which is something the Bears have done very, very well. They did it last week against the Vikings, which had the number two rushing offense in football. So I would say that's the key. And if they do that, then the Raiders are going to be held down enough that, you know, while this offense for the Bears hasn't been great, they'll do enough to score and win. I actually think the Bears are going to win big. I got 30-10 Bears.
Wow. If it really is that, I don't know if we have a quarterback controversy, because we probably don't, but there will be even more discussion. Adam Hogue in London, wearing the same underwear that he wore on the flight over?
No, I did go to a store today. I went to a store. I got a new pair of jeans, a really cheap dress shirt, and some new underwear, all courtesy of British Airways.
Well, and as well they should be paying for that. I hope you got the proper attire. Went big with a good solid boxer brief. We don't need to know the details on that. All right, we'll talk to you during the post game on Sunday afternoon, Adam. Thanks for the time, brother.
Bye, Carm.
Adam Hogan, London, 720 WGN. All right, thanks to my guy Adam Hogue for jumping on from London, and that's not easy when you lose the old baggage there. I mean, I got to go find the... I mean, there's. I guess it's not that big of a deal. You go to... There's Target London, right? You get some underwear, you're good to go. And I, checking by Twitter, the bag apparently has arrived, so good for Adam. Well, as we're getting up, Jordan Burnfield's coming up for the 10 o'clock show tonight. And I just wanted to, before I get on out of here, give a shout out to Miguel Perez, who has had quite the journey. He was a deported United States Army veteran. All right, so this guy served two tours in Afghanistan, and he was granted citizenship today. Now, he thought he was going to be a citizen, the story goes, when he actually joined the Army. But that was not the case. And he was sent on two deployments to Afghanistan, one in 2002, one in 2003. He spent 7 years in the Army in total. And yet he was not a U.S. citizen, which he was, I guess, unaware of. I'm piecing together 5, 6, 7 different articles here. But you would think, if you're going to go and fight for the country, you would actually be a citizen of the country. I can understand why Perez would have that belief. So he comes back and dealing with PTSD, and he ends up delivering 2 pounds of cocaine to a police officer in 2008, which sends him to jail. And then when he gets out of jail, he ends up getting deported because he was not a U.S. citizen and he was convicted of a crime. Now, here's somebody who's lived in Chicago since he was 8 years old and was terrified of, I guess, being back in Mexico. His family's here, his parents, two sisters, two children, his own children, are U.S. citizens. He hadn't seen his son in 10 years, right? And he was only able to see his daughter while he was in prison and then in ICE custody after that. So Governor Pritzker granted him clemency for his drug conviction and then said that Perez's military service should give him, quote, an expedited path to citizenship, which was something that was an executive order for President Bush back in the day. And apparently due to oversight, he was not afforded the opportunity. He should have had it, but he didn't take advantage of it, was never a citizen. So today, as the story comes out, he officially became a citizen. He came back from Mexico. He was given a green card for 2 weeks so he could go through the trial, explain himself, who he is, my family, this and that. And so he actually becomes a citizen. And I'm not sitting here, by the way, saying, hey, you know, go out and sell cocaine and that's okay and whatnot. But, like, there, I also don't think you should, if you get convicted of a crime, you serve your time, you come back out, you shouldn't be getting kicked out of the country, right? So, good on us, man, and good for the family. He's got two kids here. He's got his parents here. I'm seeing all these, you know, incredible photos of his parents sitting there with the American flag. He came back from Mexico as he's coming back in here for this 2 week period, and he's got the American flag draped around him. Loves the country, wants to be here, served 7 years for the country, put his life on the line, two deployments. I mean, your life's on the line in your Army period, but he really put his life on the line, went to Afghanistan. 2002, 2003, and I get it, he signed up to be in the Army and whatnot, but that's a level of service that I would say that, 97% of us are not willing to do, let's be honest, and here's a guy who did that, and I don't want to get into a whole what should be legal and what should not be legal, but I don't, Pete's shaking his head, don't do that now, But you break the law, you should do some time. But I don't think you should be put away for life for selling drugs. That's just me. And those laws, of course, are seem to be changing by the day. Certainly around with marijuana. But I was just reading the story today, and it hit my heart. Here's a guy who's, I mean, the pictures are beautiful, the quotes are incredible. I'm just overwhelmed. After reciting his oath of citizenship, Miguel Perez Jr. turned to the American flag on his left and gave a salute. This was out of the Tribune. It was a fitting way to end a tumultuous journey for the Chicago native who's gone from U.S. soldier to convicted felon to deportee to U.S. citizen in 20 years. Wow. 7.5 years in jail, felony drug conviction. I think that's a fair amount of time here, team. He'd been living in Tijuana and was fighting for his way to come back. And it happened today in this city. So it's a beautiful thing. Pictures are there. I hope that as far as the PTSD and everything, I don't know Miguel Perez at all other than from what I've read. But, I hope he's on the road to recovery. So thank you for giving me a second to speak on that one tonight. A lot we didn't get to today. The college admissions discussion was the hot button topic on the show tonight. Augustine Junius, the fifth parent sentenced to 5 months in prison. And a lot of people calling up WGN tonight defending him. Hey, that dude's not a criminal. He was just trying to do what's best for his kid. And I was just trying to bring to light that giving your kid, paying for him to learn is cool. Paying for him to get around things that everybody else does is not. So I appreciated everybody's reaction to that. And, of course, the first ever Chelsea Bachelorette party game, which was run by our two amazing contestants, Katie and Bill. You like that, Pete? Remembering their names, put it to memory. Katie, my first girlfriend ever, who wasn't the Katie that was on the show tonight, and Bill, as in Bill Carmody, Bill Cartwright, and many other Bills, Bill Buckner, that have played athletics in this town, which seems like a perfect point in time to bring in Jordan Burnfield, who is doing the night side tonight. Jordan, good to see you. Welcome.
Good to see you. By the way, I am so glad, and it's just so perfect, that your brain associates Bill with Bill Carmody.
I love Bill Carmody.
That is the most Mark Carmen thing literally ever.
Hey, I had many, many fights defending the great Bill Carmody. I know he never
How
made
How many shrugs did you get?
He was great at the shrug. He had the best
shrugger of all time.
He had a lot of twitches. But if Dave Ennett was here right now and listening, and I know he's in Nebraska getting ready for the Cats and the Cornhuskers tomorrow, that's a 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock kick right here on 720 WGN.
I'm jealous, by the way.
In what way?
Lincoln is awesome.
Oh, okay.
Someday you got to get down there. I'm not even kidding.
Lincoln, Nebraska. No, I believe it.
That campus is amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so if Dave was listening right now, and he would love that we're talking about Bill Carmody in his room.
Yes.
And, you don't have to win championships to be a great man, Jordan Burnfield.
Agreed.
And Chris Collins took him to the tournament, and that's incredibly awesome, and it was a great moment in Northwestern basketball history. Bill Carmody was a great man, and they were close many, many years, and he just never got the breaks as far as guys being healthy at the right time, and I always just thought he went about it the right way, and it was a great credit for the organization, so I remember them. That's one of my favorite Bills.
It's a great Bill.
It's a good
Fantastic
Bill. It's a good Bill.
Bill
Cartwright's a great Bill. Phenomenal Bill. Who doesn't love the way Bill Cartwright shoots the basketball?
It's a very solid Bill. Once saw Bill Cartwright at the Highland Park Sunset Foods. He had to duck under to get in and out of the door.
You saw me at the Hindenburg Foods, Jordan.
I love Bill Cartwright.
It's great.
Man of integrity, Bill Cartwright.
Yes.
Who was on my Craig Hodges piece, which if you go to my Twitter at the Carm.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I remember that.
Cartwright was on there speaking well of Hodges and speaking well of that team. So what's coming up on the show tonight, Jordan?
So you're coming up on the show tonight.
I am.
Which is good. We're going to do some sports talk, some food talk, and some apps talk. I sort of got into one of those rabbit holes today where you start looking at one article, leads to the next article, leads to the next article, and I have realized that there are apps for your phone that make literally no sense, that one, that they exist, and two, how absolutely bizarre they are. And so I think we've gotten to the point where we need to celebrate the weirdness of some of these apps, because there are people out there,
very creative people,
that are actually spending their time using these things, presumably because that's why they were made. And so we're going to have some fun with that later on.
They're making their lives better. Pete, you looked like you wanted to say something right before we got through the Bill Cartwright and Bill Carmody conversation.
I don't want to take over the show, but 981-7200, text in your top three bills.
Oh, text three bills would be great.
Top three bills.
Top three bills in Chicago sports and United States, all world history. 312-981-7200.
Wennington.
Wennington's a great bill.
Excellent bill.
Great bill.
Right.
Let's think about this. Greatest bill in White Sox history, Bill Melton. When do we go?
Melton Bill.
Bill Veeck.
Bill Veeck.
That's a really strong bill.
That's a better bill. Yeah. I love Bill Melton, but Bill Veeck is that's a whole other plane. Favorite? Let's think about this.
I mean, Cubs. You could go Bill Miller. He was a decent Bill Miller.
Hey, batting champion.
It was.
That was a weird batting title, but he did win the batting title. Bill Matlock.
Of course, not with the Cubs. Yeah.
Bill Matlock. Bill Buckner.
Bill Matlock is solid.
Solid Bill. Okay. I think we have
Bill Buckner.
Do we have to go now? I feel like we have to go now. Jordan's coming up. Pete, thanks a ton for all the help tonight. Appreciate it. Adam Hoke, thank you for jumping on. Thanks to Katie and Bill for playing the Chelsea game. And thanks to Yuri Lane for stopping in studio as well. Jordan's coming up, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, wrapping it up here. A couple programming notes for you. Number one, Hamp, OB, and Kaz will be on after the Bears wallop the Raiders. So 3 o'clock on Sunday, I'll be guiding the ship, hopefully not trying to get hit in the face. So looking forward to that. And there will be White Sox Weekly for you Sox fans. That is Sunday evening this week after Hamp, OB, and Kaz from 6 until 8. So a little bit of a sports programming block, if you will. So we got some big time guests coming up on Sunday, including one of my favorites, the Wimperoo. Tom Pachorek is going to be on the show Sunday evening. And don't forget Northwestern football tomorrow. Dave and Ted from Lincoln, Nebraska, the Cats in very much desperate need for a win. I'll be on after the game until 7 o'clock tomorrow in the old afternoon. Hopefully the Cats can get themselves a win.